Good morning, church. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm very excited to be in the mix today. And I'd like to use this opportunity to thank God, because it's only God who was able to do this. Amen. And also to thank Pastor Chris Lynn, who has been a humble servant, who really touches my heart in many ways. And I want to use this opportunity to thank him for the time that he has given me to step in at this time. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of our Son, Jesus Christ, I thank you for the opportunity that you have laid out here before me to be in the presence of your saint, in the presence of your children, so that we can together learn what you have for us this morning. I invite your holy presence to be here. Without the Holy Spirit, I can do anything, I'm nothing, and I can accomplish anything. So come in, come and help me. Come, let me decrease so that you will take over this place and teach your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My name is Phil Maliro, for those who do not know me. And I'm very excited to be here. My wife Doris, my three children are here. We came from Moscow, Russia. And of course, you're going to ask yourself, there are no black people in Russia. But I came from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and I went to Russia to study. And from there, I met my wife. She was coming from here. So that's how, a couple later, years later, we got married, and our two first children were born in Russia. And so we are very, very happy to be in our midst. And so let's get to the Word of God today. Amen. So today, I just want to be able to talk about the absolute beauty of God. We're supposed to have it on the screen, but they are working on it right now. It's going to be there. Amen. There are some technical issues, so I want you guys to bear. And I want to welcome those who came here for the first time. Crossroads Church welcomes you, and we are one family together, and we're going to serve God together. Amen?
Showing Jeff up there?
Okay.
All right.
I'm not sure if I've hit the right spot. You may have to go back.
No problem. Thank you. All right, so I want to go back a little bit. All right, so Mike? You can just, from there, you can do it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll just go with this. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The earth was without form. The earth was void. And God said, "Let the light be there." And the light was there. Brother and sister, imagine, I just want you and I to imagine that you and I were there when God was created the earth. we are not. We just imagine. We pretend to be there, right? And God, knowing everything, God being the most powerful being that we've ever known, and you realize that God, who knows everything, created this man who happened to be faulty. God knows that this man will make mistake. He knows that this man will disobey him, but he's ready to use him. You being there, you say, maybe God, you can redo this man. You can, let's do the perfect man who will be able to accomplish your will, not this one who is very faulty. But yet God said, no, I'm going to use this one. You say, but God, this man will fail you miserably. It still say, yes, this is the man I'm going to use. That's in my plan. I'm going to send my son to save him from his disobedience. But you say, God, even if you're going to send your son, Jesus, they're going to kill him. They're going to crucify him. You say, that's part of my plan too. I'm still going to use this man. Having this human being nature, you won't understand what God is doing. But exactly that's what he did. Amen? So today we're going to talk about the absolute beauty of God. And we're going to see that through the life of his servant, David. You and I, we are both servants of God. And we're going to see how David went through his life, acknowledging and in the intimacy with his God, the things that he discovered about God. So I'm going to invite us to open on Psalm 139. We're going to see from, we're going to read the entire chapter, but first, I just want us to consider the first six verses. These six verses talks about omniscience of God. Omniscience is just a big word to say God knows everything. Amen? David, as a servant of God, had to learn to get in touch in relationship with God. Through his relationship with God, he discovered all of these things. And he's presenting them, all of those to us. The Psalms are a collection of songs, of praise, and that's exactly what David is doing. He's praising God for the things he has discovered that God is able to do in his life. I'm going to read 1 to 6, which talks about the omniscience of God. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have urged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain. Amen. So we see David, after he has been serving God, come to a conclusion that God knows me very well. David is not different than you and me. As a servant of God, sometimes we go through life, we say, God, you've called me, but I don't understand what's going around me. I see obstacles upon obstacles, but what are you doing? But David here said that in my circumstances, I've come to a conclusion that you have searched me and you have known me. It's like Moses telling God that, God, I don't know how to speak. But God tells him, yet you are the person I'm going to use. And so God has known him afar off, even when he was still in his mother's womb. The Bible says he knew him. And so you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. There is nothing you and I, as God's servant, that we can do that God does not know. It doesn't matter the things that is going in our brain, our thinking. God knows every aspect of that. He knows the substance, the chemistry that creates our thought before even we have conceived them. And so you comprehend my path and my lying down. Any path I might take, God knows that. He knows exactly what we're going to do. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You might be worrying. You might be having difficulties. You might be facing challenges in life. All of those things are laid down in God's presence. And so God knows us very well. God knows every step that you're going to take. He knew David to be a man after his heart. He knew Saul, even though Saul was not the king that he had selected. The people selected Saul and presented him to God. And we see the result that came out. But David, called by God, selected by God, we see a different outcome. So God knows his servant very well. He knows you and me, and we should not be really going around and being worried about what is to come. God knows Paul, who was Saul before. Saul used to kill Christians, but yet he knew that that's the person he will use later to expand his ministry worldwide. God knows us very well. And you cannot be saying, no, I'm short in this. I'm not enough in that. But God says, in significance, I can still use you. No matter what you lack, I'm able to complete you. Amen. So knowing the omniscience of God, we, his servants, should never hide the truth from him because he knows it all. Amen? The Bible says, trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. That's the mindset we should have as servants of God. We should know that no matter the circumstances, the difficulties, God knows how he's going to take me out of this. Amen. So the second thing that we're going to consider from Psalm 139, it starts from verse 7 to 12. And this part talks about the omnipresence of God. Or God is everywhere. There is no place we can hide that God is not there. So it comes down to the same situation as a servant of God. Sometimes the circumstance of our lives pushes us to say, no, I'm going to disappear. I'm going to quit. I'm going to run away. But God says, there's no place you can hide. I'm not there. In heaven, if you want to hide in heaven, I'll be there. Let us read so that we understand the content. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend in heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. So we see God, we cannot hide from His Spirit. His Spirit covers all the earth. The Spirit of God is both in heaven. The Bible says in Isaiah 66:1 that heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. So God is everywhere. We can't hide in hell, where is a place of agony, horror, misery, torment, nightmare. Even there, God is able to redeem us. Just imagine, I'm not sure what's going on in your life, but you can be facing, let's say, foreclosure. You might be facing some hardship, some disease. But God says, in all of that, I'm able to redeem you. Because that can be help for us when we are going through difficult times. We can also talk about Hades, which is also an explanation, another representation of hell, which is a prison. An addiction can be a prison. And God says, even when you are in prison, I'm able to come and open the doors and take you out of there. It can be a gehenna, a situation that inflicts great pain on happiness. During the coronavirus, a lot of people were alone, isolated in their home without any help. They were unhappy. But I believe God was able to open a door for them to get some relief. So God is able to do that. I can give you an example of one of his servants, Hannah, who happened to become the mother of Samuel, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. She was a servant like you and I. And she was going through a lot of pain because she was barren. She couldn't have a child. Until she got the revelation that I have to give myself fully to Christ. I have to commit my child to God. And that's how her womb was opened. And she did exactly what she had promised to God. And the result is we have the greatest prophet in the whole Bible. So I don't know what difficulty you are facing right now. I don't know what hardship has been holding you back. I want to tell you that those difficulties, those hardship are opportunity that God can use to accomplish great things in your life. Because God cannot come here on earth do things that he want to do. He's going to use you and me and everybody else. So we have to stay connected. We have to stay open to receive him and to know that his presence is everywhere. No matter the circumstances, no matter our problem, God is there. So knowing that God is omnipresent, we should try to hide from him. We should never try to hide from him. Remember the case with Jonah. What did he do? He tried to hide from God. He thought that God will not see where he was. And the result was different. Adam, in the Garden of Eden, after sinning, he tried to hide from God. Maybe God will not see me. But God was present. So for this, I like to read Hebrews 4:13 that says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before him, before the eyes of him, to whom we must give account. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must account or give account. Amen. So there is nothing we can hide that God does not see. The third part and quality that David had discovered that he's sharing with us is the omnipotent of God. And omnipotent of God, that will take it from 13 to 18. The Bible says, for you formed me, you formed my inmost part, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I fearfully and wonderfully I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. And skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, on your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. God is saying that he had created you and me. The dust that we are formed from, God says he knew that substance before he had even selected it. He had carefully selected each material or each element that constitutes our bodies. We are precious in his hand. He said he created us in his own image. And all of this because he had a wonderful work that he wanted to put in our hands to accomplish. So he said, I will praise you. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. We are very, very skillfully shaped by God, and there is nothing in us that need to be redo, because God did it in a perfect way. And the eyes of God sees us. He sees the substance that made us. He controls everything in us as we belong to him. God created you and I. He breathed his own breath into us. He recorded all the days of our lives. He has them in his book. And God has precious thoughts about you and me. He's thinking of you. He's thinking of me every single day. So we don't need to worry about anything, because his power is seen everywhere. In the way we have been built, it demonstrates how powerful God is. The way he created this world demonstrates the power of God. The way he's ready to come in our rescues demonstrates the power of God. So knowing that God is omnipotent, we should not be afraid. We should not be afraid. We can look at the life of Joseph, who has gone through countless difficulties in life, starting from his own family, all the way how he got to the palace. He went through difficulties after difficulties. So this is a servant that we oftentimes try to see the life of Jesus through him. Why? Because he stayed connected to God, and after that, he saw the power of God, which raised him to become the second in command in Egypt. And for this part, I'd like to suggest Hebrews 13:5-6. The Bible says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" So as we go throughout the life and we are serving God, there is no fear because God is in control of everything. His omnipotence, his power is available to us and everywhere. We just need to stick with his word, stay connected with him, and obey his command, and we will see his power manifested. Amen. And the last part is the redemptive power of God. And here, Paul talks about, not Paul, but David is reflecting on the fact that God is able to redeem us from any wickedness that is around us. He even called the enemy of God his own enemies. He is contemplating and celebrating the power, the redemptive power of God. Let's read together from 19 to 24. "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty man, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, the Lord who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So we seek God. David recognized that God is able to redeem him from this wickedness that he lives in this wicked world. So as a servant, yes, we might find ourselves in the midst of wickedness, in the midst of bad people, but we have to know that God is able to take us out of there and to redeem us. So knowing that God redeems, we should be bold and confident. And I always like reading this passage in the book of Joshua 1:7. "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success." That's what we need to observe in our mind, to stay courageous, to stay in the path of righteousness, and God will do the rest. Amen. So knowing all of these things, knowing that God, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he has the redemptive power. Why do we need to go after him? Why did he select us to serve him? Why we who are weak we always fall short from his glory? Why does he need to come after us and to be able to use us in this world. And I think the answer is simple. Because he gives us himself. He has given us life and life abundantly. He commands us to serve. He gives us purpose. Remember the life of Rahab, who was just a prostitute. But then God stepped in because he had shown faith. And God redeemed her, and she became the great-grandmother of Jesus. So God is able to use every single one of us to accomplish what he wants here on earth. He loved us, paid for our sin, even though he did not need to. Amen? And so I just want to close with this verse in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Book of Ephesians. I'm going to go there because I don't have it ready here. Just give me a second. Sorry. All right, so let's read 1 to 10. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the other. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness together towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. May God bless you all.